Welcome back to the continuing story of the Perfume Nationalist. We have a very special episode here. We're going to talk about the Stepford Wives with Mike Cernovich. How are you doing today, Mike?
Doing well, thank you.
I just got back from Dallas less than an hour ago. We recorded our epic 8-hour season 4 premiere on location at South Fork Ranch, the location of the Dallas TV show. Orton, I went back to the perfume house. I bought the white Neanderthal perfume, Neanderthal Light.
Awesome. That stuff is surprising, man.
It's really surprising.
I would have written it off because the bottle is kind of, on first glance, it's sort of ridiculous.
Native American.
Yeah.
Who wants that?
Nobody.
Yeah. No, actually, I didn't even think of the fact that it looks like an arrowhead, but the inky smell immediately drew me in. And then the company is very mysterious. Also, the fact that they only have 2 main perfumes is really cool when everyone has a million.
I don't know that it's supposed to be an arrowhead. I think it's supposed to be a murder weapon.
I think it's a murder weapon. I think it's just a sinister kind of like rock sculpture. Mm. But the brand is pretty nicely mysterious. There's actually an app where you can scan your perfume bottle that has some kind of like microchip in it to identify
you.
It. Yeah, they track you.
If you kill anybody with the bottle, they know who did it.
Yeah, I know. And it doesn't even do anything, but somehow I really like this extra step. And the uncomfortable kind of racial implications of having a black and a white perfume called Neanderthal.
Neanderthal.
And then the other ones are called Us and Them. I know. And the ad copy is very strange. I think it's like a Japanese artist guy that's behind it.
They're sending us a message.
I know. So, Mike, I read Guerrilla Mindset this week. I bought a physical copy of it.
You actually read it?
Yeah, I'm living the Guerrilla Mindset right now. The thing that really stuck with me was the idea of the abundance mindset, where instead of looking at things negatively and, you know, looking at all the bad things in your life, you see the rich abundance in everything and take pleasure in all of it. That's kind of the spirit of this show, because everybody has a very critical, like, negative attitude about most movies and most art, and this is like just talking about things that we like, really. But I keep hearing the word abundance.
There's this like critic mindset where you feel like you have to nitpick. It's that hipsterism. I think culturally what happened is, and I don't know why, maybe you guys do, but it became uncool to love and to have emotion. Mm. So you can't say, like, I like this. I tell this story where I knew the world was changing and I didn't understand it because I was so like autistic. I don't consume pop culture, and especially, you know, 15 years ago. And I was at dinner and people were like, oh, I hate this food. I hate eating here. And I was thinking, well, why are we here? And I didn't realize that was the way people started to communicate. Oh my God, I hate this. Why don't you say you like it? Right. It's okay to like things, right? There was that meme, that like edgier meme, like it's okay to be, you know, whatever. It's like, it's okay to like things. And people definitely lost track of that.
Well, liking things is more dangerous because it makes you vulnerable to accusations of corniness, or, you know, you have to like own up to your opinion or own up to your critical takes.
Yeah. There's no way to say, lol, I was just joking, dude.
Yeah. So you see, especially like with Zoomers, even the stuff that they're clearly obsessed with, it's all phrased as this like irony glazed, hate watching, hate listening, kind of like negative parasocial fixation. And you so rarely see somebody just hailing anything as a masterpiece or great, or even just saying that they like it, because that's dangerous. And the whole concept of